Welcome to the AP Now podcast, the podcast that covers trends, insights, and emerging issues impacting every accounts payable function. Your host, Mary Schaefer, is the founder of AP Now, a B2B digital information and learning company focused on all issues related to AP. Stay tuned as Mary and her guests discuss the business intelligence you need to ensure a cost-effective, technologically efficient, fraud-resistant, regulatory-compliant accounts payable function. Without further ado, let's dive right in.
Welcome to episode 13 of the AP Now podcast. I'm Mary Schaefer from AP Now, and in this episode, I'm pleased to welcome Matt Scudera from the Credit Research Foundation. Today's episode is brought to you by Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. Matt, thanks for joining us today. I know that you read that article that I wrote, that very short article in the e-zine about an $8.7 million fraud that was a result of collusion. You were one of several people that reached out, and I was really glad to hear your commentary. But before we share that with the audience, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about Matt and a little bit about the Credit Research Foundation.
I sure can, Mary. First, thank you for having us on. It's great to be with you. A little bit of background about myself and about CRF. So I am a 25-year practitioner of shared services, most recently coming from the retail industry, where I had AP, AR, travel, payroll responsibility. Now I am with an organization by the name of Credit Research Foundation. We are a nonprofit group providing education specifically in the space of accounts receivable. Again, just happy to be with you today, and great to share some experiences as well as learn along the way. So looking forward to today's episode.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to learn more from you than you're going to learn from me, but whatever, we'll strike out, so to speak. So I want to give you, or I guess I already did, I got ahead of myself, gave you a brief overview of what happened. Basically, it was a marketing executive who made some deals with some of his vendors to either overbill or bill for services that were not offered, and then he approved the payment, and then they split the difference, so to speak. A lot of these frauds are very difficult to uncover. At least in my experience, they're difficult to uncover. Do you agree? And do you have any other examples of episodes like this, Matt?
Yeah, I agree 100%. Very difficult for an organization to detect fraud. You know, as I look at it from the receivable side, there are typically so many transactions that take place, and you're worried about just resolving the transaction and moving on to the next one versus understanding what each transaction's about. A lot of people just don't have the time or the tools to detect. So I totally agree. It's a big problem. It's very difficult to detect. I've seen it and heard of it on a number of occasions through CRF. So some of the CRF members will come up and share some experiences, as well as when I was a practitioner. Again, having both sides of the house, I would occasionally, and more so than I'd rather talk about, would be to find those types of situations that were happening. And I do have a couple of examples on those. And one very specifically was where we had an individual that was responsible for all store construction, particularly in the Northeast. And they had worked out a very similar situation where you were just talking about with a vendor. But what would happen rather than an invoice piece that would come through, the invoices were whole and very accurate, but there were activities that would take place on the side, particularly around the area of entertainment, that would get rebilled back through the organization. So we would pick it up on travel and expense and noticing a pattern of activity that would take place with an individual after each one of his travel to a particular store that he was reconstructing, et cetera. And there were numerous examples like that we would pick up. But yeah, collusion happens in many fronts, many different situations, and it becomes very difficult to detect unless you have the right tools or some tools in place that can help you with that. And I'm sure many people experienced the same thing and could share some very similar stories.
Yeah. I think you're 100% right. So this was a case of overbilling, but I would think that kickbacks, probably another common methodology preferred by this type of crook, would be even more difficult to uncover if the crook is smart about it. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's very difficult to uncover that, and as well as people put controls in place. It's still a piece that is still very manual in nature in many cases. Mm-hmm. And so, from a systemic standpoint, you can't detect them.
Right.
There are relationship activities that take place, and it's at all stages of an organization. I've heard of many situations of people talking about this type of activity, and it happens from the lower levels of the organization right up to the senior levels of the organization. And so while sometimes you're taking instructions from your senior leadership to do something and you would take it as being the right thing to do, in some cases they are trying to commit fraudulent activity, but you don't know it, right? Again, you're taking instructions from senior levels of your organization,
right.
And processing payments and exchanging money and information. You think it's valid and true, but not in all cases. And I'm surprised that when I hear about it, and you would think that maybe it happens to those organizations that just haven't been able to build the control systems in place to detect it. But it's not always the case. I've heard of organizations and people shared information with us that are from leading organizations, leading companies, and names that we would all know, household names, mm-hmm. where this has taken place. And I think the learning there from our side is it happens across all levels of an organization, meaning from an employee level, and it happens to all organizations. So it is a truly widespread issue that all should be aware of. And do their best to control and detect this type of situations.
I know one episode that I was involved in personally, in a former life, I did derivatives trading for the company that I worked for. And, we always were going for the lowest price possible. And we had one of the banks who typically did not win. Come the holidays, the trader on the desk sent me a case of very expensive wine. Now, I have to tell you, Matt, if you're going to try and bribe me, wine is not the way to go. But when I opened this, I was infuriated. And I went into my boss and I said, I can't believe they did this, yada, yada, yada. And I said, I'm sending the wine right back. And he said to me, no, you're not. I said, what do you mean, no, I'm not? He said, he sent you the case of wine. You don't have to do anything. You can keep that case of wine and you'll continue just as you are. So I said, well, I don't really feel right about that. And so what I did is I took the case of wine and I shared it with my staff. So everybody got a bottle of wine and my boss got a bottle of wine. So do you see this type of like subtle thing, or is this what you were talking about when you were talking about the expense reporting?
Yeah, I see that as well. So I have a couple of experiences like that in my own career. And one was internal. It was internal collusion where somebody had opened a desk drawer, and the desk drawer was full of tickets to any sort of event you wanted to go to, concerts and sporting goods, and said, just take whatever you want. Just make sure you take care of my business. And so just having the professional background I do, that wasn't acceptable, did not accept them. And I had shared that up just through my reporting lines that I had within the business, just so that people were aware. But that type of activity seems to happen quite a bit across the board. In my last role, where I had worked for a Fortune 200 organization, we set up a new policy, which was it did not matter at what level or cost that activity was. There was zero tolerance, and it included small things like lunches, right up to large things that could be similar to what I had just talked about, concerts, et cetera.
Right.
That there was zero tolerance in the business. And so it made it, from a detection standpoint, it made it a little bit easier, because if you saw some sort of activity, you could pick it up and say right away, not allowed. And,
right.
Again, widespread, could be public or private, small or large companies.
Right.
And at all levels, it happens quite a bit. So, two people here, very just kind of common conversation, I would say. We've had it happen to us. I'm sure there are many listeners
right.
that will be on the podcast that will have similar situations. And and just know that there's, I would say, strength in numbers.
Right.
And it's not an isolated situation.
Yep.
And there are ways to address it for folks, and shouldn't be feel uncomfortable with addressing any sort of situations like that that would pop up.
Okay. So we need to take a break from our sponsor, and then maybe when we come back, we can give the audience some tips on how they can prevent and detect this type of thing. But before we do that, message from Stamply, our sponsor. AP professionals know invoices are easy to lose, and it takes time to track down approvers while also having to code, log, cross-reference, verify, reconcile, and cut checks, all while staying compliant. Stamply simplifies all of that. When invoices enter the system, Stamply's AI, called Billy the Bot, immediately gets to work by proposing GL codes, approvers, and flagging issues like PO mismatches and potential duplicates. AP simply confirms the information is correct and submits the invoice for approval. Now here's the best part. Stamply fixes the disconnected communications between approvers, accounts payable, and the vendors. With Stamply, conversations are centered around each invoice, and anyone can be invited to the conversation, getting to an approval decision up to 5 times faster. Visit stamply.com/APnow. See for yourself how your team can work smarter, not harder. That's stamply.com/APnow. Okay. So one of the things that we always see recommended, Matt, especially from like folks like the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, are things like an anonymous tip line. And of course, today the tip line can be both phone and email. So, I mean, I know I've heard, and I suspect you've heard some of the same stories about people who've, you know, either jilted spouses or an affair gone bad when one person turns the other in. Do you have any good stories like that?
Yeah, first of all, I love the idea that all organizations should have a tip line. It should be anonymous, whether it be phone or email. Because it allows for people to do the right thing and not jeopardize their roles or feel like they're going to jeopardize their roles. You know, in one of my my experiences, the tip line went into a certain individual in the organization I had worked for, and they had exposure to then how to figure out what were the next steps. And because of their role and what I had on the financial side, any sort of those things would then kind of just funnel their way down to me. So what it allowed for the organization to do was to allow people to detect things and then share it, but feel comfortable with doing that. You know, in the case I just referenced, it went to a very top security person within the business. If it was financially related, they could funnel it down to me. And I had financial services responsibilities. So you can think of payroll and accounts payable and data management and receivables and travel. Yeah. So there were a lot of times that's where things are detected. And we were able to then do the research on those items. And we used a lot of systems. So we had a systemic approach to a lot of our pieces from there to figure out patterns, et cetera. And we were able to pick things up. And whether it was somebody using car services that they shouldn't be using them, inviting family members to do some travel, trying to purchase things from non-approved mm-hmm. vendors. We were able to do those types of things. So, boy, I love that idea. Again, people can use a tip line. They can get their information in. And, you know, I find that most people, 99% of the people want to do the right thing for their organizations. And mm-hmm. this is a way to allow them to do that and feel comfortable in doing it and not jeopardizing their role or relationships or reporting structure within a company. Again, doing the right thing is so important. And you know, most of the people want to do that. So great idea and a great approach for folks.
So one of the complaints I sometimes hear about anonymous tip lines is that sometimes people will give a false report, you know, oh, you didn't give me a big enough raise or I'm annoyed with you, whatever the story is, and I report something that's not true. Did you run into that at all?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough where I did not.
Okay.
And having said that, what we would do is we did the research. So there was certainly an emotional aspect of a tip line and a call that comes in, mm-hmm. but it has to be backed with fact. And I think that was part of the chief role of what we would do is we would help provide the fact behind a particular tip. And then we could escalate it to an individual that would make the right decision, whether that was head legal counsel in the business, head of a particular security organization, et cetera, but provide fact behind it. So again, emotion can be fairly high in these types of situations, but cool heads will prevail, and cool heads then are using fact to determine whether it's false or true, and then they can make the right reaction at that point. So yeah, certainly understand it, and it could happen, but again, try to use fact and data to drive it.
Okay, fact and data, that's good. Okay, so I always like to give some strategies whenever there's a problem. So one of the things that I always recommend is job rotation, especially with the accounts payable processors who might be on a particular account for several years. They get to know the AR person on the other side rather well. And, there are some benefits to that without a doubt. But also then there's a greater chance of collusion. Do you recommend that on your side?
Yeah, I certainly do. And I recommend it because it allows then kind of a breakage to happen in a process if there was something taking place. I also find that employees tend to like that, right? And sometimes change can be a little bit difficult, mm-hmm. but given the nature of the roles that we do, that sometimes you're looking for some newness, right? And
right.
So you get out of a particular pattern. So I think it's good for a strategy for preventing any sort of wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also good for people. They seem to like it. And it gives them to kind of cross-learn different tasks,
right.
different accounts, et cetera. And it builds their skill set, right? Makes them stronger mm-hmm. as an employee. So I find it very beneficial and a great thing for folks to do.
Some other things we recommend: mandatory vacation, surprise audits, strong internal controls, appropriate segregation of duties. And I would suspect on the other side, it would be more or less the same.
Yeah, it's very much the same. And, surprise audits are always a great thing to do. It keeps people on their toes. Mm-hmm. It allows them also then to live by the policies and practices that they participate in writing for a business and get accepted. So I like that a lot. Strong internal controls. Today's environment, as we become more systemic in nature, right, and the fintech movement continues to move in our direction. And that mm-hmm. would include things like robotics, process automation, mm-hmm. and artificial intelligence and machine learning. That strong internal controls are just so important to have. And that can be things like controls on your vendor management side and mm-hmm. your approval levels. And, looking at things like, kind of fixed purchasing patterns or systems or vendors that you're allowed to use. And strong internal controls are extremely important for us as process owners to be able to embed. And, you can embed them on the people side, and you can also embed them on your system side mm-hmm. As people, continue to morph through what they do. Appropriate segregation of duties is such a big topic for all of us, and one that all should embrace, and not only embrace it, but live it. Mm-hmm. And then, rotating that back up to the first one you have on your list here, which is job rotation. Think about that from a job rotation standpoint too. You have the right segregation of duties, and then sometimes you're going to move individuals around in mm-hmm. your business for those right controls, and those segregation of duties then need to change as well. And again, that can break patterns and just different activity that's taking place in your business. And very positive from an outside point of view looking in. So as individuals, maybe an outside audit firm may be looking in, or some other activity, maybe some consultants are looking at your business, when they see a strong pattern of job rotation and surprise audits and strong internal controls, and you have the right segregation of duties set up, that they see that as a real big strength for your organization. And whether it's being graded, being audited, being reviewed, or being looked upon for change, they see that, if you have that in place, that you're really a powerhouse. You're doing all the right things, and you have all the right steps in place. So it's so important to have all these. And, I have some other ideas, if you want, I can share those as well with you, Mary, that, some things on the receivable side that kind of cross-train mm-hmm. Along with these. And, so a couple aspects that people are looking at today for detection for fraudulent activity is, I see a big bend in social media coming in now.
Uh-huh.
And understanding, who your vendors are, and is there a social media aspect to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen where people have detected where they've had primary vendors and on their social media profile were activities that were not appropriate for them to be doing. And so it helped detect and move an individual or organizations away from being a vendor. So social media is becoming more and more of a play.
I always tell people,
systemic pattern recognition. Systemic pattern recognition is important. And I see that as a play. A lot of like using data today for detection. Visibility from the outside looking in, very similar to what we had just talked about from an internal control. One of the best ways for us that I've seen, it goes back to the basics. It's training, I mean, training and communication. And that it's not just a one and done when somebody walks in the door, but maybe it's every 6 months or every year your employees go through a training episode and, you know, to stay fresh there. Fixed purchasing tools are having a play today. So these online purchasing tools are having a play so that, you know, the purchasing activity cannot be wide open, but maybe very focused on, you know, who people are allowed to purchase from.
Right.
There's duplicate verification activities and more taking place. And then from the receivable side, very interesting, and how the two organizations, like an AP and an AR group, seem to be working. There is now a pattern of vendor credit approval. So, you know, how do you get away from the collusion between maybe one individual and a vendor taking place? Well, you start to add in maybe three or four other parties now that have to be in the loop on this. And so vendor credit risk reviews are becoming mandatory for a lot of firms. And so that didn't happen 5 years ago as much as it does today. And you know, I'm seeing 30 to 40% of all my membership are doing these types of reviews. And that number continues to grow. So yeah, you know, there's a lot of strategies out there. I think it's picking the right ones for your organization, making sure that there's visibility for all to see what you're doing. And then it's this constant trying to stay in front of it, because as good as we are as professionals, you know, there's the bad guy on the other side who's trying to stay one step ahead of you. And so just, you know, maintaining good practices and up to date, I think is great for folks. And, you know, it helps alleviate any issues down the road.
Yep. Well, that was very interesting, Matt. Thank you for joining. I hope you'll come back and be on another episode in the future.
Would love to.
Good. I'd like to thank everyone who's listening for listening today. And of course, a special thanks to our sponsor, Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. If you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate this episode, review this episode, subscribe to the series, or even better, share it with your community on LinkedIn, Facebook, or wherever. And of course, share it with your staff. To be alerted to new episodes, please visit www.ap-now.com. And sign up for our free twice-a-week e-zine. Thank you for coming. I hope to see you again at a future episode.